Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for listening in. My name is Linda Mooney, and this is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. And I am delighted that I have tonight with me Randy Cooley Wilson. Hi, Randy. How are you doing?
Hi, Linda. I'm good. Thanks so much for having me tonight.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, and I'm so excited because Randy is a new-to-me author, and I was looking at her stuff, and you've got to go over and check out her website. It's RandyCooleyWilson.com, and she's got two series there, one of which she's going to be reading from tonight, which is called Vernal, which is book one of the Royal Protector Academy series. The other one is Revelation. We'll be talking about that one a little bit later, but those covers are like to die for. But anyway, for those of you who don't know Randy, she is a best-selling author of paranormal, urban fantasy, and contemporary romance books. She was born and raised in Massachusetts, where she attended Bridgewater State University, and she graduated with a degree in communication studies. But after graduation, she moved to California, where she lived happily bathed in sunshine and warm weather for 15 years, but she's now recently moved back to Massachusetts. Well, Randy makes up stuff, and she devours romance books. She drinks lots of wine and coffee, that's my girl, and has a slight addiction to bracelets. Do I dare ask how many you own?
No, you don't want to know. It's actually becoming an obsession. Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, like I said, she resides in Massachusetts with her husband and daughter, and she'd love to hear from readers, so you can reach out to her via her social media. You can find her on Twitter as r_CooleyWilson. On Facebook as author Randy Cooley Wilson, or on Goodreads. And or of course, I said you've got to go check out her website. All right. So, Randy, like I said, I was looking over and I saw your Revelation series, but Vernal is a new series that you've started, correct?
Correct. Yep. Vernal's the new one.
Equus is going to be coming out next spring. And then Nox will be in the winter of 2017. So I'm assuming that these titles are based on equinox, right?
They are. They're part of the Latin equinox, which relates directly to how the time frames of when each of the parts of the trilogy take place, which is why they were named that way.
Okay, so this is going to be a three-part series, right?
Just a three-part series. Yeah, the Royal Protector Academy series is it's actually a spin-off of the Revelation series, which is the first series that I had written. And those were five books, and readers were so enthralled by the story of the Gargoyle clans that I sort of continued it off in a spin-off. Vernal is, and the other three books within the series follow Serena and Tristan, and they're the children of the next generation from the Revelation series. So that's how the two tie in together.
And then you've got a Dark Soul series. Is that related in any way?
No. So the Dark Soul series is coming out, and that's a completely different. It's very dark. It's very, very sexy. It's very, very different from the Revelation series or the RPA series. So I'm actually really excited to release that soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get back to Vernal, and then we'll dive into the others afterwards. But I'm going to go ahead and turn the floor over to you, and you can get us started on Vernal, a Royal Protector Academy novel. So take it away.
Thanks. So Vernal is about Serena, who has a bright future etched in stone, and Tristan, who has a dark past that haunts him. And together they have a love that can't be. It's forbidden. Serena was sheltered and unable to escape her bloodline, and she spent the last 2 years training at the Royal Protector Academy. Tristan struggles with a dark past, and his current assignment is to protect a lifetime of secrets. and one chance encounter between the two sort of changes their fate and changes their destiny. Serena has to decide whether she'll follow her heart and forsake all she's ever known, and risk a future worse than non-existence. And Tristan will break every rule to save Serena, even if he can't keep her. In their world of darkness, one love will ignite an ancient war. And when pasts collide with the present and secrets are revealed, will love be enough or will one lie destroy it all? When you've hidden behind a mask for so long, would you reveal yourself for love is sort of the big question of the series. Ooh. So I'm going to read an excerpt from the series. It's actually the beginning of the book. It's the very first chapter, and it's actually the very first paragraph part, and it's from Serena's point of view. The book is both from Serena and Tristan's point of view, but the passage I'm going to read is from Serena's point of view, and it actually starts the book.
Okay.
My eyes slide closed as the tiny drops of water cascade from the darkened sky. The warm beads hit my face, trickling effortlessly across my cool skin. The sensation of being alive wraps around me as my spirit connects to the energy the weather bestows. Strength bleeds into my body, penetrating each layer until the energy drifts throughout my veins. I ignore the dull ache making its way into my neck, a result of tilting my face skyward. Instead, I lift my arms and without thought twirl and embrace each tiny droplet of water as the rain soaks the crinoid coastal line around me in a fierce assault. The elements heighten my supernatural powers, causing my core to hum with vitality. My lips form a small smile as I pirouette my way through the mist-shrouded, endless emerald hills. Each rise is crisscrossed by tumble-down ancient stone walls. My laughter floats in the wind. It's the only other sound encircling me, aside from the rainfall. I loved doing this as a child, spinning so fast I'd become dizzy and disoriented until the earth around my feet would simply slip away, and breathlessly I would collapse onto the blades of grass. I miss the carefree days of my youth. There's something freeing, liberating, about standing in an open field with your arms extended, allowing the rain to wash away your inhibitions. Not that I have many hang-ups, but the ones that I do, they wrap around my heart like chains squeezing until the simple act of breathing becomes almost impossible. Another childish laugh escapes me as my body tumbles and collapses onto the soaked ground. I stretch my lean limbs and sink into the sponge-like soil, becoming one with the aged earth below my undressed body. My wet auburn hair falls messily around my face, and some of the long pieces stick to my dampened skin. But I don't care. For the first time in days, I feel alive again. Lying on the ground, I simply stare at the dark sky above as the world spins around me. For a fleeting minute, the dizziness offers a brief reprieve from the musings that constantly cloud my head. My free-spirited revel ends abruptly at the sound of a throat being cleared. I release a half-moan, half-sigh, knowing that my moment of serenity has come to an end. Rather than sitting up to face Rolf, the royal guard assigned to protect me, I pout like a child. My unhappiness overtakes the bliss I was feeling seconds ago. It's not that I don't enjoy Rolf's company. It's just that his presence reminds me of my royal bloodline, my duties, and my obligations. Knowing the gargoyle's temperament, he's probably standing with his arms crossed, aggravated by my lack of acknowledgement while he continues to get wet. Go away, Rolf. You're naked. The statement comes from an unfamiliar, seductive, masculine voice, filled with an inherent confidence. Definitely not Rolf. Unaware of who this stranger is, I remain still and strategize a plan of attack should I need one. Though I'm without my weapons, I'm not concerned. Years of training with the best protectors have made me a skilled opponent. If all else fails, I always have my supernatural powers to help me kick this guy's ass. I clear my throat and remain motionless. Your ability to state the obvious is mind-blowing. The stranger releases a dark chuckle, unnerving me. I shiver in response, and my slight grin falls. My lips press together in annoyance at my reaction to something as simple as his enthralling laughter. It's like silk. Cool. Sensual. Designed to pull you in and entrance you. I guess I missed the clothing optional portion of the Academy's handbook, he countered. My stomach clenches in response as his velvety voice drifts over my exposed skin, caressing it. I swallow in an attempt to keep myself in check and my tone even. It's an epic failure. Something to work on, then. My voice is shaky. What's that? Reading. Reading. A prerequisite if you'll be attending the Academy. A beat of silence passes us before he speaks. Is nudity a habitual behavior of yours? He questions with an amused lit to his tone. At the sound of his deep voice, I roll into my stomach, lift my gaze, and meet his curious expression. He's breathtaking in a dark and unrefined manner, if you're into that sort of thing. By the way, my breathing has become erratic, and my heart rate is spiraling out of control. I guess I'm into it. Yes, I reply. A knowing smirk appears on his full lips. Nice ass, he compliments while his stare runs the length of me. I don't shy away from his open perusal. I'm comfortable with my curves. Self-assurance comes with my title. His eyes roam across my body, leaving imprints everywhere they go. I blush uncharacteristically at his heated intensity. My poise cracks as a raw desire slithers inside me, crawling into the crevices, choking me. Confused by the way my body is responding to him, I pinch my brows. He tilts his head to the side, watching my reaction. There's something captivating about the way he's looking at me. He's drawn to me but can't figure out why. I notice his self-confidence start to fade, taking advantage of the fact that he's lost in his own thoughts. My focus shifts to his mouth, and I stare at a tiny sexy scar on his upper lip. His breathing is smooth and soft. Unlike me, with my unsolicited need to have him whisper dirty things to me, he seems unaffected, cool and calm, eerily controlled. The stranger runs both of his large hands through his caramel hair, pushing the long pieces on top, back in a sleek and sexy manner. The rain has soaked every perfect strand, and they keep attaching themselves to his sun-kissed face. It's almost as if they never want to let go. I narrow my eyes at the wisps. They're eliciting a pang of jealousy within me. For some unexplainable reason, I feel an overwhelming sense of ownership over him. It's me who should be the one touching his slightly scruffy, chiseled face, not those pieces of hair. Wait, that isn't right. I don't even know him. I scrutinize his thick eyebrows and attempt to compose myself. On most guys, a brow piercing looks ridiculous. On him, it looks almost menacing and wild and hot, so very, very hot. I drop my gaze to the silver rings adorning his fingers. Like mine, every finger with the exception of his, pinky, is covered with them. I blink away the idea that our hands match and instead concentrate on his broad chest, hidden under a white thermal. The thin cotton is drenched, allowing me to take in his sculpted body. A pendant sits under his shirt, dangling from a black leather rope, which hangs from his neck. Annoyingly, I can't make out what it is. I sigh internally as my eyes trail over his rolled-up sleeves. They're pulled up to his elbows, showing off the leather and chain bracelets he's wearing on each wrist. At the sight of the familiar adornments, all my internal alarms go off, and something inside of me sinks. I attempt to hide the awareness that has fallen across my expression, and instead fixate on his worn jeans and heavy boots while planning my escape. This guy reeks of danger and trouble. The air of cockiness he emanates is one I grew up with. It matches my father's and uncle's. It all means this hot specimen is 100% off limits, and being near him is like being near a bullet that you never saw coming. It wounds you so quickly and deeply that you bleed out without even knowing you've been hit. I meet his powerful cognac glare, and a shaky breath escapes me. I'm startled by the way he's staring at me, like I'm all he's longed for. A light chill brushes through me. I'm not accustomed to someone looking at me and seeing just me, not my bloodline. I need to get a grip on my erratic emotions. Standing, I put my entire unclothed body on display, hoping to throw him off balance. Pushing some of my damp hair behind my ear, I lift a challenging eyebrow at him, daring him not to look at me. Unfazed, he holds my gaze with an unwavering stare. A silent pause beats between us. Who is this guy? Are you done assessing me, he asks. You're a protector. I point to the shaded Celtic tattoo on his right forearm. The symbol binds him to the spiritual assembly of protectors, allowing him to accept divine assignments. Of course he's a protector. He's here at the Academy. Why can't I think clearly around him? The stranger's expression falls as if my accusation hurt him somehow. He doesn't say anything, but dips his chin in response, confirming my theory. I despise the leather bands my family wear. They feel more like handcuffs to me than required protector accessories. Tristan, he says in a way that slices through me. Another unwelcome shiver crosses my skin at the sound of his voice. Serena, I reply thinly. Tristan's pointed look drops and travels over my body in a palpable manner as he becomes intimately acquainted once again with my every curve. Are you always so welcoming, Serena? When his eyes finally meet mine, my brow arches. Only to those I like. So then you like me then, he attempts to hide his smile. I hold him with a glare. Don't flatter yourself. Tristan cocks his head and crosses his arms over his chest. My focus strays to the streams of rain dripping off his face. He steps closer to me, so close that I trap a breath he's exhaled in my lungs, when the bare portion of his arm brushes my own. Why am I so reactive to him? Slowly he bends down, piercing me with an amused expression. And here I was, completely impressed with myself that I had a beautiful girl naked and wet within 5 minutes of meeting her, he seduces. That a record for you, I quip? I offer a shy grin, unable to stop myself. It would seem so. Maybe you're just having an off year, I surmise. Tristan stares at me with an obvious sadness that stretches over us. You have no idea just how off. My eyes trace his lips. I start to speak, but he abruptly cuts me off when his hand lifts to my face, cupping my cheeks. I stop breathing and my eyes widen at the unexpected motion. At his touch, a warmth runs through my veins, igniting something foreign within me. His thumb lightly brushes a drop of rain off my bottom lip, and I watch with a rapidly beating heart as he brings the thumb to his mouth and sucks the bead of water off, watching me the entire time. It's been interesting meeting you, Serena. My name sounds like a test on his lips. He releases my face and takes a step back, roughly sliding his hands into the front pockets of his soaked jeans. I swallow, regarding him for a moment longer. You too, Tristan. See you around, Raindrop. That's it.
See you around, Raindrop. Oh, right.
See you around, Raindrop.
Oh, goodness gracious. And you're going to leave us there.
I'm going to leave you there. I'm going to leave you hanging.
Well, yeah, you're going to leave us hanging right there. Lauren has an email question for you. Is that, what is Serena's bloodline?
So she is the sole heir to the gargoyle race. So when her uncle Asher, who is the king of the gargoyle race, can no longer reign,
mm-hmm.
she will take over and rule the gargoyle slash protector. So she will rule that race.
So when Tristan is a protector, meaning
he also has right. Well, Tristan is a little. He has a gargoyle lineage, but he's
mm-hmm.
also got some other things that come up during the plot.
Oh,
yeah.
The plot thickens here.
And
he's got markings on him.
He has markings on him. Yep.
And does she have markings?
She does. One of the things within my storyline for the gargoyles that I write, they either take on assignments from either spiritual or divine assignments. Or they
mm-hmm.
take on other assignments. And if they have the Celtic tattoo, it means they are, they've oathed themselves to the spiritual assembly, so they take on divine assignments. So that's what all the markings are.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's kind of like it's kind of like in the military when you have a badge that says exactly what your ranking is, so to speak, kind of like that.
Yeah, I think it lets other protectors and other gargoyles know which side of the coin you're on. If you're part of the divine side and sort of helping humans and mankind, or if you're on the other side and sort of pulling them into like the darker side of things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, out of curiosity, can they turn into stone, or is the thing is, they're just beautiful. I'm looking at Revelations. Let's go back to Revelations, because this is where basically your Royal Protector Academy was born from, per se.
Correct.
right? Okay.
Yes.
And the Revelation series, I was reading, and by the way, the first book of the series is 99¢ on Amazon. Your covers are absolutely gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you. They're
just gorgeous. Now, and your website just blows me away how it works. It's just, you've got some of whoever's doing your website, kudos to them too. And all.
Oh, thank you. That's my brother, actually. He'll be thrilled to hear that.
Your brother? Oh, does he do it for a living? Does he do it as a job? Oh, my gosh.
He does.
Yay! He does a great job. But the Guardians basically started at this. Well, let's go back. Okay, tell us a little bit about the Revelation series and how it led into the – and how it led. Because you've got five books out, and then you've got Gage's story coming out in 2018. So give us a little bit about Revelation.
So Revelation was the start of this whole process. Revelation follows Asher St. Michael, who in the Royal Protector Academy is the king of the gargoyle race. But in Revelation series, he's not. He's sort of next in line and ready to take over that role. So it follows he mm-hmm. and his two brothers and their mates. So it's sort of that clan of gargoyles, and they are on a divine assignment to protect the key to balancing light and darkness. And her name is Eve, and Asher and Eve. He is her gargoyle. He's her protector. The gargoyles are a race mm-hmm. that protects humankind from evil and demons and all the sort of supernatural nastiness in the world, if you will. And that really comes from the architecture and real life, the history of gargoyles being used as protectors of evil spirits. So that translates into the series. And Revelation really follows Asher and Eve's story, and he's assigned to her, and it unfolds and the reasons why and what happens. But it's his family and sort of how she's adopted into that and their forbidden love story. And his brother Kaelin and Kaelin's mate Abby are Serena in the Royal Protector Academy's mom and dad. And then there is a character in Revelation, Gage Gallagher, who he's kind of shifty. He's one of those, you love to hate him. You never know which side he's on. You can't really read him or figure him out. He sort of just plays for all teams. And he is the father of Tristan in the Royal Protector Academy. So that's how it all ties in. Mm-hmm. Without giving too much away. That's kind of, that's how it all started. Revelation was really the beginning. And then Royal Protector Academy is the spinoff of that with their kids.
Oh, goodness gracious. Now, I'm just kind of blown away here because this is something different than what I'm used to reading and all. Now, let's talk just a chat a bit about your Dark Soul series. You said it was pretty dark, and I've been reading the back of the book. I love the way this thing works. And you click it on and the book just pops up in front of you and flips around and lets you read it and all. An ancient legend draws them together and his dark soul will tear them apart. Tell us a little bit about this one.
So Dark Soul is a completely different series than either of the other two. I'm actually really excited. Dark Soul follows Prince Stolas, who is the prince of hell, of the nine levels of hell. It's loosely based off of Dante's Inferno. So all of the nine levels in Dante's Inferno have been brought into this sort of paranormal romance. And Stolas is, there's an ancient legend that if hell gets a hold of this oracle, that the balance will be tipped to hell. And so basically he's assigned to find and bring back the oracle to make his father, who's Lucifer, proud. And he meets Hope while he's on this assignment. And so it's really about their story and kind of what happens in their world. So it's about demons and oracles. And so it's still paranormal romance, but it's definitely different. And it's very dark. It's dark demons. So it's not your run-of-the-mill, cute demon. It's mm-hmm. it's definitely darker and much more gritty. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you working on now?
So I'm working on book two of Royal Protector Academy. I'm working on Aquarius. And then I'm also finishing mm-hmm. up book one. We're finalizing book one, getting ready to release the first book of Dark Soul.
Mm-hmm. Because it's up for pre-order right now. When is it expected to be released?
Dark Soul will be released before, I think, late fall. I think there's a November scheduled release date. I have to double check the actual release date, but it's probably the end of November. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ooh, you got to come back on the show when that one's released and read from that one, because that one's intriguing and all.
Thank you.
So you're basically, you've got this coming up. These coming up. What's looking down the pipe a little bit? Are you got any book signings where people can meet with you and talk with you and buy your books in print? You got anything coming up?
Yeah, so I'll be at I will actually be at PennCon in September in St. Louis, which for those who aren't familiar, is a really great signing, and all the proceeds go to Action for Autism, which I love. So mm-hmm. that's coming up in
what
September.
Okay.
Action for Autism. Yep. And that's in September. I think it's September 22nd and 23rd. And then after that, my next scheduled appearance will probably be the Roanoke Author Event in Virginia. And I believe that's in March.
Ooh, March of 2017.
Yeah. Yep. March of 2017.
Wow.
Yep.
And all. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, Randy, this has just been fabulous. I'm sitting here looking at all your stuff and playing with your website and all. But like I said, you've got to check it out, guys. You've got to go check out Randy Cooley Wilson, RandyCooleyWilson. The first book is called Revelation. Then there's Restraint, Redemption, Revolution, and Restoration. And then the Royal Protector Academy, Vernal, is out now, and Aquarius is coming out in the spring, and Nox will follow in the winter. And, of course, the Dark Soul series, you got to check those out. But like I said, Revelation is 99 cents right now, so go get it. And all. And Randy, thank you for coming on the show. It has been wonderful. I love listening to this. Revelation's available in audiobook. Hey!
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And so if you're in an audiobook, go check that one out too. So thank you for coming on the show. And like I said, come back when your next book comes out. I got to hear this.
I would love to. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on the show. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance. Thanks for listening in, and check back with us again. In the meantime, stay warm. Stay warm. Stay cool. Stay warm out there. It's a little hot out there right now. So stay cool. Have a great summer read. This is a great summer read. So check it out, and we'll see you again. Take care, and good night, everybody. Bye-bye. And we're done. Stay warm. Duh, me. Told you I'd make mistakes. This is phenomenal. I love looking at this. You are new to me, and I'm so glad that Maggie hooked us up, because now I can go check this stuff out. Oh, wow.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
I'm gorging over here. So anyway, like I said, when your Dark Souls, because that's also, I like the dark urban fantasy too. So he's not bad looking on the cover either.
I know. Eli, isn't he adorable? I'm getting mixed reviews about Eli, but I personally just adore him. I think he's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He kind of reminds me of Tarzan a little bit. And all, but I like the I love the tat scribbled around him, looking like, it looks like a language and all that he's wearing around him.
You know what's You know what's funny about Eli was I picked him out of like maybe 120 cover models to be the model for Stolas. And when I had written, when I started The Dark Soul, I was loosely basing it off of Dante's Inferno. And in Dante's Inferno, there is Prince Stolas actually has a tattoo of a crown, the crown prince on his right forearm. And when we, as we do, when we had Eli take off his shirt, he has the Dante's Inferno crown on his forearm. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is serendipity. He's perfect. He's exactly what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Mm. Well, Randy, you take care, and I wish you lots of luck. You look like you're doing, you have some great reviews. I've been checking you out on Amazon, and those are just wonderful. So I just wish you lots and lots of sales and luck, and keep it up, and come back on the show. You know where I live
I
now.
I will. Anyway, I will. Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon then, okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.